This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we're going to be talking about gun permits in Tennessee. More and more of those are around. And we have with us as our guest this morning from Legally Armed, the founder, Gene Kennedy. He has some information that I thought you might enjoy. Well, Gene, just have a seat anywhere and just make yourself at home. Gene Kennedy is with us this morning, and everybody who is in this area, Gene lives here in the area, so people know him all around the area, as a matter of fact. Pull one of those microphones up to you, get it right up, let it be your buddy for the next hour. Just pull it right up to your face there, and we'll say good morning to you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good to have you with us this morning, Gene.
Thank you, Bert.
Well, now, tell us from the first time, you've been on the air with us many times over the years.
Yes.
Going back to one of those first times we visited together on the radio, there were not as many people in Rutherford County who had the gun carry permits, I don't guess. Has that increased dramatically?
Well, it has. Each year, the numbers go up. Rutherford County right now is number 5 in the state as far as the number of permits. There are, I'll tell you the exact figure, there are now 16,846 in Rutherford County. That's as of June 3rd. The number one county in the state is Shelby, which is Memphis, 50,637. So a lot of it, I've realized, also depends on the number of gun schools in that particular area. The more the gun schools, the denser the population, naturally the higher the numbers.
It sounds like it's pretty much following the population curve, too.
Right.
Shelby County is the biggest county, I guess.
Yes.
Is Davidson the second?
No, actually Knox. Knox comes in next with 27,659.
Which certainly is not the second largest.
No. And then Davidson comes in at number 3. That's 26,447, followed by Hamilton. And again, it always seems to be a jump when there's something in the news, if there's a bad crime that has happened, and more people turn 21. So as that results, it also results in more permits being issued.
So what do you think has caused the increase here in Rutherford County?
Well, I think that a lot has to do with politics. A lot of people were concerned when President Obama started speaking about gun control, that this would be taken away. And there was a big jump in not only guns being sold, but permits being obtained. And I think now that area has fallen to the side a bit. Not that if he couldn't come back on guns, he would. But I think the legislature, both the Senate and the representatives, has said, no, we're not going to put our foot in that right now. And that's really surprising, especially after some of the tragedies that had come about. But even with the legislation, I don't think that would have stopped any of the tragedies at all.
I have heard, and these may just be rumors, but you probably know the answers to these things, that in certain places like Kennesaw, Georgia, where they encourage the government, the city government there, encourages you to be a gun owner, I've heard that those places have lower crime.
Well, they do. And in fact, Kennesaw is the only county in the United States that has a mandate that any male over the age of 21 must have a pistol at home. Now, they don't enforce it, but it's still on the books. The one story I always enjoy is a felon who had robbed someplace in New York, and he was on his way out to, I believe, Texas. And I guess he ran out of money, and the place that he stopped was Kennesaw, Georgia. And as he went into the convenience store and pulled his pistol, all he heard and everybody else heard was just click, click, click. Everybody had a pistol pointed at him. And the clerk said, I guess you've never been to Kennesaw, Georgia before. So I always thought that was pretty good.
I'd heard some other things, too, about other places, that in some of the Scandinavian countries where those families are well-armed, that invading troops from other places who don't think so kindly of some of those people, they don't go there.
No. Yeah. And in that location, it's not just a pistol. It's almost all fully automatic weapons. And it really, I think, I have a sticker that says legally armed, and people say, what's that for? And I say, you put it on the back of your house, and when the robber comes to your house, it goes to your neighbors.
So you think that really works? It sends a message?
Not really, but I have spoken to...
Well, I mean, burglar alarm's a sign,
right?
That says you have a burglar alarm.
That's right.
If you have both of those.
Yeah, both of those. And I have spoken to people who are in prison that constantly robbed homes and people, and my question was, if you knew a person was armed, would you approach them? And 100% no. 100%. If I know there's a gun at home and I see a car, I'm not going there. They say that some people read the lists where guns are that some of the papers had put out, but I haven't seen where they've actually robbed those homes. I'm not saying they haven't, but I haven't seen them. At least now in the state of Tennessee, they made the list not subject to public record, so... that can't happen again here.
You mean there were some places that were actually publicizing where the guns are? These people are authorized to have a gun in their home?
Yeah. Well, the commercial appeal in... when was it? The commercial
Memphis.
Memphis, right. Yeah. They put out an actual map that showed the density in the location. And I don't remember if they actually put out the names and the addresses. I think they did, but then they took them down right away because that would tell a person there are firearms in that home. So some of the newspapers have done that, not only in Tennessee but other states, to draw attention to them. But the attention they've drawn is just bad attention.
Well, so. I'm thinking of these. I can see how if you are someone who is a criminal, you'd want to stay away from those places. But I could also see how this would be another problem for people who are truly against guns. And,
sure.
And so, you know, there are people who are for and against everything. And then there are the extremes of all of those, and the extremes, no matter whether you're for or against something, the extremes sometimes are dangerous people.
Sure.
The extremes who are against guns, I'm guessing could become violent.
Well, they could. But the only difference is, you know, rarely do you bring a knife to a gunfight. So, I mean, I'm never concerned. Only words are never going to hurt me. But sometimes people jump to situations they shouldn't be in. Just this week, a police officer from New Jersey was driving in Georgia, got involved in a road rage. They pulled off the side of the road. The other person approached the car. The officer said, I'm a police officer. He still kept on coming in. The officer drew his gun and shot him. Now, he was arrested, but that's kind of an overkill to me. It's dodging the pun, but, you know.
The police officer was arrested?
Police officer was arrested, yes.
Why did, I mean, police officers, no matter where they are, aren't they supposed to carry their weapons?
They are, but it depends on it really depends on the region, but under LEOSA, which is the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, which is passed by the federal government, any active officer can now carry their pistol in all 50 states. Even a retiree, if he goes through the proper channels, can carry. But some organizations will say you can carry, but don't carry your issue gun, because they're afraid of the liability aspect if that's used. So I don't know if it was this issue gun or not.
And I think in Tennessee, I've just been eavesdropping on conversations that retired officers, as long as they keep up their practice hours, they have their carry permits.
Well, they almost have to fall under LEOSA. In Tennessee, it's controlled by POST, the Police Officer Standard of Training. And most times they fall under the guidelines of LEOSA. They'll actually certify instructors to instruct retired officers. The way this law works is it says if you are retired from a government operation. Well, I bring that up because they have the campus police in Vanderbilt, but they're not part of the government, so they don't fall under this law. It's only government entities.
No, when you say government, are we talking about federal government or any government?
Any government, like state government. But see, Vanderbilt isn't with the state government.
But MTSU is.
MTSU is, yes.
So their police would be.
They would, yes, they definitely qualify. So, but the way the law works is that if you are retired from another state, you don't have to go all the way back to your home state. You can qualify with instructors in the state that you reside. And some entities don't even do that. In Metro, they don't allow their officers, they will not certify their officers for that law. So they turn to other people, other instructors on the outside. To me, it makes sense. I mean, you're in an area where you have a lot of crime, a lot of terrorists, and more people are being released from crime because of income. So it's a pretty dangerous time we live in.
So a Murfreesboro police officer who retires and moves to Nashville, he would not be able to do this through Nashville's police department, but he could get on with a post somewhere.
Right. And MPD may do it. I'm not really sure.
And I'm not sure either.
And if they do, that would mean that he not only could carry in Tennessee, but if he went to Illinois or New York, he would still be allowed to carry.
Okay. Now, if you are a police officer and you go into an area that is strictly off premises for people carrying guns who are not officers, like an airplane, can you carry your gun?
Well, as an officer...
I mean, if you have, you know, your badge or whatever.
No, it's not just the badge. The officer has to go through an actual class that's been put out by, I'm not sure if it's Homeland Security, the FAA. It's a one-day class, but that would give him the certification, but it's still left up to the pilot. Pilot could say yay or nay. Even though some pilots have a pistol in their cockpit, I've seen how they have to get to that cockpit, and you almost need a bomb to get that gun out. It's just ridiculous, but it's up to the pilot to say yes, you can, or yes, or no, you can't. And then if you can't, then it would be unloaded and stored in a normal manner when you transport a firearm.
Now, if you are a U.S. Marshal, and sometimes they transport prisoners or a deputy with the sheriff's department, who are going to get a prisoner in some other state and fly them back on a commercial airline, would they be allowed?
They normally have papers that allow them to do that because they are transporting a prisoner. And a marshal, I believe, I'm not really sure about, I know the air marshal is allowed to carry, but I'm not sure if a federal marshal could, but I'm sure they have their own paperwork. I just don't know.
How safe are we in America right now? With guns, with public transportation, are we pretty safe compared to other places?
Well, I've always felt after 9/11 that the next attack was really not going to be a big, glamorous attack, that small arms are going to be used. I mean, you could go to New York and as a commuter train is going into the city, have a high-powered rifle, or have a full auto, and take out hundreds of people just as the train passes. So I think that is more likely to occur, bombings like you happen in Boston, but they need training for that. It's not too difficult to get a firearm and pull your trigger. So that is a concern. And one of the things that they found when they were in Afghanistan, in one of the Al-Qaeda camps, was how to obtain a permit in the United States. So I just thought that was a little bit scary.
So anybody, American citizen or not, can get a gun permit?
Well, in Tennessee, you need to be a citizen. You even have to put in your proof of your citizenship. Now, there are certain areas, substance diplomats, etc., you know, would have certain other standards, I don't see that many. I mean, I every once in a while on the report as far as handgun permits, I do see at the bottom there's a classification unknown. So that could give me an indication that there could be some something else that you know has allowed people to carry.
As you look at other countries, especially in Europe, where they have had wars on their soil for you know generations, families, even people in their 40s, 50s certainly, have seen, if you grew up in England, say, they have seen war right there in their hometown often. Bombs going off, things, you know, with the Irish and things of that sort, and other bombs coming in from other places being detonated. They see crime. Is crime worse there? Because they don't have guns, I don't think.
They don't have guns, but then how did they kill the, I mean, the soldier that was walking down the street just a few weeks ago? Knives are a big part of their society.
That's right. So if you take one away, something else is coming in.
Something else comes in. And even though they're not supposed to have them, they're there. I mean, they may not surface. They even tried to take away the shotguns from the hunters. So I'm pretty sure there's enough underground that they know what's going on. But in that type of society, you have more killings, but not with firearms. I mean, it just, as you saw that situation, which is a terrible situation, but it happened, and they made their point. And one of the problems I always see with terrorist types is the media constantly will run that article over and over and over again. But what that also tells is that there's something else, somebody else out there watching that, and they're just saying, you know, I might want to do that. So there's good and bads, in it, you know, and everything. But as far as the United States, right now there are, I'll give you an area that really staggers me. Total, there's 865,000 total commissioned officers in the United States. There is now 8.5 million people that are authorized to carry. I mean, that's a big, big difference. And
pass that by us once again.
In the United States, there are 865,000 commissioned officers, police officers, law enforcement officers.
865,000, right. Okay.
There are 8.5 million people that are authorized to carry. That meant that, well, in Tennessee alone, there's 428,000. In Georgia, I believe there's 600,000. Alabama, there's another 400,000 or 500,000. These figures are staggering. They really are. And people sometimes say, where is all the ammunition? Well, besides Homeland Security, you have 865,000 police officers that every once in a while, every other month, they go out shooting. Now you have 8.5 million people that every, let's just say half of them decide to go to the range. That's a ton of ammunition. So I think that the manufacturers are doing as much as they can to fill in the holes.
And so if you're thinking, I wonder how safe we are, I wonder if the right to carry arms is going to go away, I think if you can look at a lot of things are determined by, is there a business that is going to profit from this? And I think you can see in America, there are many businesses that would be hurt if we lost the ability to be armed.
Yes, correct.
And so that probably won't happen, or at least it would be least likely to, because it hurts business. And that's, whether we like it or not, that is a determining factor. We'll be right back. In fact, in the next segment, we're going to open up the phone lines and talk some more about being legally armed in Tennessee. And if you're legally armed, what about the other guys who are not legally armed, but they are armed? They're the criminals. What can we do about that?
Called my mama, she was out for a walk. Consulted, cup of coffee, but I didn't want to talk. So I picked up the paper, it was more bad news. My heart's being broken, paper being used. Put on my coat in the pouring rain. I saw a movie, it just wasn't the same. Cause it was happy, oh, I was sad. It made me miss you. Oh, so bad, 'cause dreams last.
receive breaking news, sports scores, traffic, and weather bulletins on your cell phone. Sign up for text alerts at WGNSradio.com.
Nobody said it would be easy, but this team didn't expect easy.
And Roll leans in 2-2 to Rollins. Swing and a miss, strike three.
This team started off with some big pop.
Crushed to deep right center. Upton, back to back.
As the Braves battle for the division, we're bringing you every big game right here.
Change up drill. Bye-bye.
WGNS AM-FM, your home of the Braves since 1982.
For decades, we've been telling you that Bell Furniture has first-quality, name-brand furniture half-price every day. Now this locally-owned family business has pictures of some of their furniture on the Internet at www.bellfurnitureonline.com. Save with Perry Bell at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway,
halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
And on the Internet at
www.bellfurnitureonline.com.
Lay it against sports!
Your baseball and softball headquarters.
Whether it's bats, gloves, pants, or training aids, we've got a great selection to get you on the diamond this summer. Name brands like Easton, Louisville, Slugger, and Worth, but at Played Against Sports Prices, we're on Thompson Lane.
Good morning once again. We've got a bit of congestion on I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, I-24 at Medical Center Parkway, also I-24 headed into downtown Nashville with some slowdown around Bell Road, I-40 junction there with I-24, some slowdown but no reports of accidents or incidents at this time. Come in for a value-priced haircut, one of 9 different Middle Tennessee locations of Heads Up Hair Salon. Updos for girls are available, haircuts for proms or weddings. Call today for your next appointment or go online to headsupaircuttingsalon.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll see sunny skies here for today with a high in the upper 80s and winds out of the west around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 72. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki. Right now, 73.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, and we have hot, delicious Otis Spunkmeyer cookies every day. Come and see us, First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, and home of Otis Spunkmeyer hot, delicious cookies.
We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. Worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Keep us safe and dry. And in the midst of sailing ships, we sink our lips into the ones we love that have to say goodbye.
Welcome back. This is the segment where we open up the phone lines. If you have some thoughts or if you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you. 893-1450, 893-1450. And visiting with us this morning from Legally Armed, Gene Kennedy is with us. And Gene, you've written a handgun permit book, and you offer gun classes, things of that sort. Anything to help people along the way here in the area. And where can you get these books, by the way?
The two locations in Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, rather, Murfreesboro Outdoors, they have them, and the Outpost, the Armory, they also have them. And the content helps any person that has a permit. Number one, it includes all Tennessee codes, use of lethal force, edge weapon, and carry codes. And then the 38 states that a person who has a Tennessee handgun permit is allowed to carry in, but they need to know the rules and regulations per state, because once you pass the border of Tennessee, then you're subject to the laws and regs of the other states. So all that is included. And it also includes the states that don't honor Tennessee. It tells them how to transport or if they have an open carry law.
So if you're legally armed, if you have a permit to carry in Tennessee, and you go on a vacation and want your weapon with you for safety, obviously, because you never know what's out there. And some states have, I've heard sprees of people along the highway that are there to rob you.
Sure.
Is it against the law in some states for you to come in there with your weapon as protection?
No, it depends on the state. Right now, there are approximately 38 states that honor the Tennessee handgun permit, so a person does not have to call ahead. They're automatically legal in those states and carry their pistol. some of the things they need to know is what is the type of carry in that state. Example, Tennessee, you can carry in the open or concealed. Some states, it is only concealed. Some states are similar to Tennessee, open or concealed. So that's one area. The other area is, can you go into a restaurant or a location that sells alcohol? And then the rules and regulations where you can, you can't carry. So I've included all that. Plus at the bottom of every state section is the regulatory authority for that state, plus their telephone number. So even if a person has a question, they can find out the answer by calling directly.
Now, if you purchase a gun, is it pistols only we're talking about, or is it rifles as well? If that you have to have a permit to have. Is it pistols and rifles? Or just
no, anybody, no permit is required in the state of Tennessee to purchase either a pistol or a long gun. But if you carry in the state of Tennessee, you must have the authorization to carry a loaded gun, even if you come in from another state. Now, one of the things that Tennessee does, they honor any other permit or license issued by a state government. So you could have thousands of people in the state every day that are authorized from another state. And as you can see, as the numbers grow, they're staggering figures. Mm-hmm. They really are.
So if you bought a weapon from a store that sells different types of guns, can you just go in and buy it and take it home?
Well, you have to go through what they call an instant check, where in the state of Tennessee, they charge the person $10. They call TBI, they run a background check, a criminal background check. If the person is cleared, they can leave that day with their firearm. If they're not cleared, they lose the $10, they can't get the gun. It's, you know, pretty simple. Now, some people look at gun shows and think, well, you know, people are coming from all over. Under federal law, anybody from another state cannot buy a pistol or sell a pistol outside of their home state. So when you go to a gun show, people think, wow, you know, this really is. Well, it's not. I mean, in my book, I even go through forms that a legal person should carry just so they cover themselves on the background of who they sold or bought the gun from. Not too many people put that out, but I am concerned under the current administration that more laws and regulations and undercover people are going to be out there. They put the IRS, not the IRS, was it the IRS? No, ATF, not ATF, it is the IRS in charge of the Obama care situation. Well, until that gets going, what are they going to do with all these agents? So I'm pretty sure they're floating around somewhere.
Now, you brought some things. Were you going to give away some of these?
Yes, anybody that wants to call in, there's two of them right there.
Okay. I tell you, for the next two callers who call in, we'll give you one of these Tennessee handgun permit manuals. Great to have anyway, but we do need for you to have a good question to ask. Don't just call in and say, I want one of those. Call in with a topic, something on topic that will lead to a conversation. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Gene Kennedy. How are you today?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
I just heard a statement from your guest that said that you did not have to have a permit to carry a long gun. Now, my question to that is, and I'm really ashamed to say this, I am a convicted felon, a nonviolent felon, and he said that you didn't have to have a permit to have a long gun. I don't understand what he means by a permit. You go into, say, Walgreens, well, not necessarily Walgreens, but some store that sells firearms, does that mean that a convicted felon can go into Rose's, Walmart, or somewhere? Does that mean that a person, a convicted felon, can purchase a long gun only for, well, of course, it's all for self-protection. I understand that part. But since President Reagan, his associate got shot, and they passed the Brady Bill, does that mean that the Brady Bill only covers persons that want a gun that have been convicted of a felon, period?
The answer to the question is real simple. You're a convicted felon.
I'll hang up. Okay. And I'll listen for your comment.
Did you want to get the manual? I guess not.
The manual isn't going to help him anyhow.
No.
A convicted felon may not own any firearm. Mm-hmm. A convicted felon can go to a gun show, but as soon as he touches a firearm, he's violated the law. Now, there are channels that they can go through to, rectify that, but that's up to them. He's in a category that when I said anybody can fire, that's why they go through the instant check. To see who's trying to buy that firearm.
Now, I remember when G. Gordon Liddy was on the radio, he commented to one person, he said, no, I don't have any firearms.
It's always his wife.
But Mrs. Liddy had the finest collection of weapons you could find.
That's right.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Gene.
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to thank WGNS for having this gentleman on. It's very informative, and I do appreciate that. And I'm looking to get my my daughter with a carry permit because she's away at out of town, and she's I raised her around firearms, and she's quite knowledgeable, in the operation of them. And I guess my question is. Until she gets a permit, how can she, if she was to transport a firearm in a vehicle, is it still the same way where you just have to have it unloaded and stored in the trunk or something like that?
Yes, until she's authorized to carry a loaded gun outside of her home, she would then have the ammunition separated from the firearm and in a different location.
Okay.
Now, the one thing I will bring up, because I have daughters, and if she's thinking about a firearm for the home, I'd strongly lean to a shotgun versus a pistol, because a pistol is a very difficult instrument to fire. You have to train a lot. With a shotgun, as long as she can handle the recoil, she's in a much better situation.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about a little... one of the smaller automatic 410s. It's something small, but it gives you pretty good coverage.
Yes.
Now, let me get your first name so we can put some identifier on this so you can pick up your manual on handguns.
Excellent. First name's David.
Okay, David. Just come by the station at your convenience, and we'll have it at the front desk for you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. You have a super day.
Bye.
You too, also.
893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Gene Kennedy. How are you today?
I'm fine. I just had a question. I've had my gun permit for quite a while, but my son and my son-in-law went and got it. Got theirs, like October, November. And my permit, when I got it, they told me that I qualified with an automatic weapon, semi-automatic pistol, and they told me that I would have to re-qualify to carry a revolver, and they're telling me that the new law says that I didn't have to qualify to carry a new revolver, and I was wanting to know which is right.
Well, what about that?
Well, your permit allows you to carry any type of pistol you want. Or as many. As long as you can walk down the street without falling over, you're fine. At one time, there may have been, when the sheriffs handled it, they may have wanted to have a person requalify with a revolver or a semi, if that's what they did. But at this point now, if an instructor says that, then the instructor's looking to cover his back alimony payments because it's not required under the law.
So did an instructor tell you that, or did someone...
Yeah, When I took my permit and got my permit, they said that I had qualified with a semi-automatic. I had a Glock, and I qualified with it. And I've asked them about me carrying my revolver, if I carried it, because I carry both every now and then. And they said, no, you'd have to re-qualify with the revolver.
Well, now you don't have to, so you don't have to worry about that.
I just want to make sure I hadn't been carrying the revolver because of that until they told me that, and I wanted to find out.
No, you're
Thank you so
fine.
Much.
Let me ask you this. Would you like one of the manuals? It sounds like you're already licensed, and so is your family.
Yeah, that'd be good. There's about four of us could use it.
What's your first name?
John.
Okay, John. Just come by the radio station at your convenience, and it'll be there at the front office.
All right, thank you
Thanks
much.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, there is our two
yes,
manuals,
sir.
And so...
Now, I did bring one other item, and the reason behind this item, it's a new item on the market. I've been to some shootings where permit holders have been shot by mistake in the area where police were, and... After speaking to some of the officers and trying to research the thing, I came up with a product that does include a badge. There are now badges that are out there. They're called CCW badges. The problem I have with those, you can be seen as a police officer, and it's just an area that I don't want to be in. With what I've done here, it's a little ID pouch that you can put your license and your permit in one location, and then you never have to dig in your pockets because everything is on the outside. And it also includes a high intensity reflector. And the reason behind that is if you're in an area where there's an active shooter, like what happened in California a few days ago, or you've been involved in a self-defense shooting, you get that reflector down so as the police arrive, they can spot you right away. Now, you're still gonna get commands, get on the ground, all that, but now when they see that, your permit is visible, that you don't have to dig anywhere, and at least they know you're authorized to be carrying a firearm.
And so you just open this up. It's something you wear on your belt.
You can clip it on a belt, or it also has belt loops. I brought one to give away, and, you know, you can see it. And at the same time, somebody is interested in this, it's a good chance because these retail in the stores for $20 up. But 100% leather, 100% made in the USA. And I'm very proud of this item.
Now, obviously, we're giving one away, there are a lot of people listening who would like to have one. How can they get one?
My website is legallyarmed.com. You can go there and you can order them right off the website with a credit card. I even have some that pages where you can just send me a check.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I haven't been hurt too bad with the check, so it's still up there.
Okay. Legallyarmed.com.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Gene Kennedy. Good morning.
Well, good morning there.
Hi.
You had another guy call in about to have a permit for a long gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a misconception. When you talk about permits, you get into registration, and there's a myth about that guns are registered and they're not. If you go purchase a firearm and you ask the employees in there, when you fill out that paperwork, is that a registration? Then they say, no, it is not. The reason why this is an issue now is because you see a lot of, due to the gun politics in America today, a lot of people are selling guns privately, either through at gun shows or out of their homes. And they're concerned about not selling it to the wrong individual, like a convicted felon or somebody like that. I even hear them on shopping swap selling guns from time to time. I think, isn't it legal for privately sell firearms in the state you're in, as long as you sell it to a resident of the same state, and as long as they're 21, and as long as they're, then this is the big one, as long as they're not a convicted felon. I think it's still legal to do that, but this, like I said, this administration is trying to, or, you know, put a stop to that or have background checks implemented on the private sales. And I was wondering what your view of that.
Well, you're correct. The state of Tennessee, you can buy and sell as an individual. What I said before that's included in my book, the one problem I have is when people do that, they see a person's driver's license, or maybe they haven't, but they have no background for what they did with the firearm or where it came from. All I have done is come up with a few forms that they can keep in their possession. And I'll give you a reason why. In Chattanooga a few years ago, a pistol was sold by an individual to somebody he said he asked the questions to, But that individual then took that firearm, went out to Ohio, shot two police officers, came back, and shot someone else in Tennessee. And the person was tied up for a long while because they could never, you know, produce any type of evidence other than they just sold it. And that's all you have to say. But anybody who's in firearms or, you know, is in this area should try and do whatever they can do to prevent problems from coming up and the media taking advantage of loopholes.
Now, I would imagine that a lot of people who are selling weapons don't know all of that. Does everybody know that?
Not really. I mean, I go to gun shows a lot because I sell my books and people ask me questions, but I also see the same people in gun shows out of their state. Now, I know that they're not supposed to be there, but I'm not going to be pointing the fingers. I'll tell them once in a while, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this. And I'm not an enforcer. I mean, I just, you know, it's not up to me. I can do what I can do, and that's it. I am surprised from time to time. I never see that many ATF agents around, but, you know, they have their jobs a little bit different than I have mine.
Our phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We're talking about legally armed in Tennessee. And if you have a question or a comment, give us a call. We're learning some information this morning. Gene Kennedy is with us. Our phone number is 893-1450. That last person chose not to get the ID pouch. So if you would like to have this ID pouch, if you have a gun permit, obviously, this is a great thing for you. 893-1450. All the lines are full right now. We'll be back and take some more calls.
Hello there.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett.
Fun lovers and truth seekers.
Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS AM FM online.
Coley & Coley Family Eye Care, located on the corner of Memorial and Clark Boulevard, family owned and operated for 25 years. Trained professionals performing eye medical emergencies, cataract and LASIK, pre-op and post-op, and work with local surgeons in the area. More and more adults in their 50s are developing cataracts. It's important to have your eyes checked when you reach your 50s. For an appointment, go to coleyandcoleyeyecare.com or call 893-8847.
Coley & Coley Family Eye Care.
Weather Eye.
We'll see sunny skies here for today with a high in the upper 80s and winds out of the west around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight mostly clear, a low near 72. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Vujitsky. Right now, 73.
Clark Iron and Metal in Murfreesboro has been around for over 50 years. It started as a means to survive for one family. Then it lasted through three generations as a business. If you have metal that you'd like to get top dollar for, drop it off at Clark Iron and Metal. They're on Hiller Drive off South Church near Broad.
WGNS Murfreesboro.
For over 15 years, our family at Demas's Restaurant have been honoring our local emergency responders for the outstanding job they do. This time, our salute is even more personal. Early one morning, our local restaurant was the victim of an armed robbery. Within 47 seconds, the two culprits in the restaurant heard the sirens and decided to take the stolen property and run. The two in the getaway car heard the law approaching and decided to scoot before their friends did. Murfreesboro police officers Sky Brown and Terry Spence were first on the scene. Within seconds, Murfreesboro police had the two culprits in the restaurant in custody, and shortly after that, the two in the getaway car were also cuffed. I'm Peter Demas, and this time our salute goes to the Murfreesboro Police Department for all of the great service they offer to keep our community safe. It was a whole team of police officers who completed the case and made the arrest, but Officers Brown and Spence were the first there, and they will receive dinner for two at Demas's Restaurant as our outstanding emergency responders.
Hey, neighbor, when you talk, others listen. If it's on Good Neighbor Talk, keep it here. WTNS, AM, FM, online.
Phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We're talking about changes in the law dealing with being legally armed in Tennessee. Gene Kennedy is with us, and your website, legallyarmed.com, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so check that out. Lots of good information there. LegallyArmed.com. And our next caller, if you wish, if you have a gun permit, obviously, this wouldn't be that helpful for you if you don't have one, but a special thing to put on your waist so that if you're out and are armed and there's a shooting around you, you won't hopefully get shot accidentally. 893-1450 is our number. We were talking about people who have, you know, a weapon that they've had, maybe a gun, pistol, or a rifle that they've had in their family since they were a kid. They used it as a child. And now they've gotten something new and they want to sell it. Can they not just go out and sell it to anybody who comes by? Or how safe are they at doing that?
Well, they really should protect themselves, who they sell that pistol to or that firearm to. I suggest they ask for a driver's license from the state of Tennessee, a form that they fill out saying they're not a convicted felon, and those things will help. I mean, it helps if something was, let's say that person bought that firearm, then sold it to somebody else, and then that firearm was used in the commission of a crime. At least they can point out that I did what was necessary for me to do, and that means a lot. So it's just the problems that could come about later on. So in Tennessee, there is one thing I want to point out. The other caller mentioned registration. Well, it's a little bit different in the state of Tennessee versus the state of New Jersey. If you have a air pistol, you have to go down to your local police chief and register that air pistol. In the state of Tennessee, that's not required. When he spoke about checking and keeping lists and this and that, how this works is that a federal firearms licensed dealer, like the Outpost, like Murfreesboro Outdoors, when they fill out a form, which is called a federal form 4473, it puts the information about the firearm and the buyer in the inventory of the dealer, the FFL dealer. When that is then transferred from the dealer to the individual, it shows what has happened with that firearm. And so when ATF comes back periodically, they check the forms. Now, that form stays with the dealer up in the time they die or they sell their store. And then it reverts back to the ATF. So that's the only form. When he's talking about registration, it's just a complete check on the background of the individual.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Gene Kennedy. How are you today?
I'm sorry. I need to call back later.
Oh, okay. Hey, that's all right.
That was quick.
893-1450 is our number if you have a question dealing with... Well, actually, we're out of time. I just looked up at the clock. We're flat out of time this morning. Before we leave, though, if you have any questions or thoughts about gun control, there are answers on your website. And let's get that out once again. What is your website?
LegallyArmed.com.
And on that website, you can also get this permit book, the manual. You can get different items.
You have all the same. You can also print out a free card that shows you for your wallet the states that you're legal to carry in. There's a lot of information on that website. It's been up there for almost 10 years, and it's been known to have valuable information if anybody has a Tennessee handgun permit.
I've got a person on hold here. Let's see if this is dealing with the program. You're on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Yes, sir. I'm curious if I did have a handgun, didn't have a permit to carry, what would make it legal to carry being unloaded, and where would it be legal to have the ammo?
It's basically the firearm is unloaded and the ammunition is stored in a separate location. So let's say you have your pistol in your trunk, ammunition in the glove compartment, or vice versa. That would suffice. What you don't want to have is the ammunition right next to the firearm, so it would make it very easy for you to load that firearm, and that's what the law enforcement officer is concerned about, is quick access to loading and firing the pistol.
And you are the winner of the ID pouch, if you would like it. What is your first name?
Jerry.
Jerry. Okay, Jerry. Just come by the station at your convenience, and you can pick it up. Thank you for calling. And that's going to do it for our program today. Gene Kennedy, our guest. And once again, his website, legallyarmed.com. Gene, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.